Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with documentary filmmakers Keith Davison and Daniel Jung, who wrote and directed Beyond the Brick, a Lego brickumentary. Hi guys, how are you doing?
Great.
I love the documentary. It's awesome. I have two kids who are obsessed with Legos, so it was really fun to watch. How did you guys get this?
How old are they?
2 and 5.
Yeah, and they actually had the attention span for it. Well, probably the 5-year-old was more so.
Well, it was really fun the way you did it with the Lego, you know, the little guy talking, the minifigure talking. I really thought that it was cool, and he was very interested in how, you know, the history and how the toy came together, and especially the burning down of the building, which is just, you did it in a really funny way. How did you guys get this idea, or, you know, how did this come about that you were doing this documentary? Was this your idea, or were you given the assignment by someone?
This is Daniel. I wish I could tell you that Keith and I were both dyed-in-the-wool, you know, adult fans of Lego, and this is the film we were always set our hearts on making. It became that. But the way the film came about actually is one of the exec producers of the film, Jim Packer, approached me, Daniel, to do a film on Brickworld, which is just one convention in Chicago. And that would be a fun film. But I thought, how about a film on the entire Lego culture, which I learned is so extensive. And then thought, well, maybe we could even approach Lego to get inside the company too and have the consummate Lego film. And thankfully, all of that happened. Lego said yes, and we were off and running, but I realized I could not make this film on my own. It's far too much of a film for my tiny brain. And so Keith's an old friend and a filmmaker I respect. He came on board, and we collaborated on this film together.
That is so awesome.
A nice call to get. It's like, hey, you want to spend the next year or so working on a fun family film? It's kind of hard to say no to something like that. And particularly since Danielle and I make, I guess, quote unquote, very serious films, this was something that was different and a bit of a challenge, and something that, you know, with both of us having kids and the age that we're at. At least for me, it was definitely something that I wanted to ultimately be able to share with my own kids.
How old are your kids?
I have a 7-year-old, Keith and Daniel. I have a 7 and a 2-year-old.
Oh, it's really the perfect age to be into Legos. Well, it's so cool that I thought it was very rich just watching it, seeing all the locations you went to, just all the material. How did you, you know, once you had that idea that you wanted to incorporate more into the film, how did you outline or organize? Can you walk me through your process, especially for someone who might want to do this, you know, with the project they're working on? Like, how did you get from, hey, we should do all this, to actually getting it done?
Yeah, well, it's a little overwhelming to make a film about something as extensive as the Lego community and the Lego universe. And of course, as we made the film, each door opened another door. So the kind of our guiding principle was to begin within Lego, and my very first shoot was at Lego. So to begin with this idea of a toy, albeit a very cool toy, made by a company, and then to expand the film from there, you know, to then look into the, maybe it's not just used by kids, oh, there's this whole community, there's these people using it in innovative ways, maybe it's not just a toy, you know, so the idea was to start with a very simple truth, which was a toy for kids, and then expand it, and hopefully the film, because it doesn't have a very straightforward linear narrative, hopefully you get that experience because it's an ever-expanding sort of series of concentric circles that keeps getting bigger and bigger.
I think since you're screenwriting, we when you're editing a documentary, you take a similar approach to actually writing a script. where you start putting all your ideas up on a big board and index cards and start juggling them around. I mean, editing really is, and you know, it is your script writing process, which becomes more and more honed in and defined as you continue to shoot. So, you know, it's doing that and taking this sort of what's thought of as, I don't know, I mean, I guess with this, I wonder what's come first, the screenplay cards, because most screenwriters I know use cards, or the documentary use of the cards.
I don't know, I mean, I went to film school and learned to use cards in screenwriting, and I guess I've just never made a film without having a wall full of cards. I have one right now on a film I'm making.
Yeah, it's like, see why private detectives, at least in Hollywood, they do that. They need to look at it all on the board and figure it out and try to make sense of it.
And so when you're doing the card method, you get started by just putting down ideas on a card that you think would be fun or cool, just like when you're brainstorming, and then you lay it all out and organize it. Is that?
Well, we did it according to theme. Since the film is very much about what is Lego and what the unexpected sort of uses of Lego are, from Lego in therapy and Lego in art, I think it was more theme-based initially. But as you probably know, in working with cards and screenwriting, those cards get jumbled around quite a bit. So I don't think it was so much like, here's just every character and here is every idea that we have. Let's put in chapter marks here and figure out how this thing's going to unfold.
And so once you do that, do you start filming, or do you have to capture moments or experiences before you're done doing all the organization? Well,
To be clear, most of that structuring is done on the back end. Of course, we're talking about it during the process of making the film. But, you know, I'm not the first person to say this, that in documentary filmmaking, the writing happens on the back end. We are essentially writing the film, but you usually do it in the edit. You know, of course, we're talking about themes and sub-characters and narrative through lines while we're making the film, but that really gets solidified in the edit, and that's where the scene cards really come into play.
So how much time do you spend filming then, and how much time do you spend editing? Just like, you know, in weeks or months, like what does it take to get a completed project?
There's overlap there, and particularly on this film, we were shooting at the last minute while we were still cutting because we had some time constraints. But in the course of making this film, which was essentially 2 years, I'd say just under half of that we were in some kind of editorial process, probably 8 months.
Wow, that's great. So what
but
do you...
I would say that was, I mean, but the hardcore editing really was in a 3-month process, going right up to our release at Tribeca.
Yeah, this too. I mean, it's we had a lot of editors on this. Ultimately, when we talk about that last sort of few months, we ramped up tremendously in order to make the deadline. And luckily, this is the type of film that you could do that because it's very sort of, there's lots of sort of individual short stories there. But generally, I don't recommend having 6 editors.
Well, what was the most challenging part of the film? Like, was it a scene that you filmed, or was it just getting that deadline?
What I'm talking about here, this is Daniel. For me, that was the challenge because Keith and I have traditionally made films with a single narrative through line, or a series of narrative through lines, which are fairly linear in their approach. This film really wasn't, you know, if you compare it to books, this film wasn't a novel. It was a collection of short stories. And so the way of unifying those and making a cohesive viewing experience was really the most difficult thing. And this was, for me, by far the most difficult film I've ever edited. It was a tough nut to crack in terms of how to keep it continually surprising and interesting and yet have some sort of cohesive through line.
Yeah, and that cohesive through line follow up on this. What helped us a lot was incorporating a character into our film, which was our animated minifig narrated by Jason Bateman.
So funny.
Yeah, he was great. You know, he was funny and, you know, a bit sarcastic at times. And it really, you know, the minifig is really the narration that is the glue to the structure of the film.
When did you get that idea that you needed that?
Well, we knew we would need some kind of narrator because there's so much information in this film, and we're jumping around so many different worlds. So that became apparent to us early on. And, of course, we wanted it to be fun and playful, and so the idea of animating this figure we came upon even before we started post-production. But Jason didn't come to us until very late in the project, and so having him on board helped inform the voice, the voice and language that we would use.
Wow, well, just it's so cool. It was so fun to watch. Is there one moment that, you know, for both of you that you were really surprised at what you discovered about Legos? Were you like, wow, I can't believe this is what I saw, or this is what someone said, or what was just the most interesting part of it for you?
Well, this is Daniel. For me, I think the serious uses of this so-called toy were probably the most surprising. The fact that it's being used for therapy, and the fact that it's being used for engineering, for city planning. I think that was surprising. Was surprising, and hopefully will be surprising to audiences and help inform the idea that this is more than a toy.
Awesome. Everybody check out this documentary about the super cool toy, the Lego, a Brickumentary. Thanks, guys.
Have a great one.
Bye.